All right, gang, it's the 10th time. We're into the double digits. It's exciting. We're breaking ground on, you know, every limit you thought. We set this out. They said, they'll never make it to 2 podcasts. They'll never make it to 3. Look at us. 10.
Who'd have thought?
Who'd have thought? 10 podcasts. So this is beautiful. We got 10 today. It's daylight savings time. We got Rob out of bed on daylight savings before 8 a.m. Are you kidding me?
So on Sunday.
On a Sunday. So we just talked about the Sunday scaries last week. Rob sleeps in. Rob didn't even sleep in on the day that everybody sleeps in.
I hit the snooze bar once and woke up before my alarm went off again.
We own daylight savings. We kick daylight savings in the ass. But today, special guest, we're bringing Seth back on, our coach. Beautiful mind, beautiful soul, one of a kind. We really love to have this conversation with Seth. It was a good one. This is an intro after the meat of it. So if you're getting a look into our life, our coaching, our daily sports stuff, you're getting it all. So kick back, enjoy Seth, enjoy us. Be happy that we made it to 10, the DECA episode, the 10. So here you go. We are golden. We are back. We have the full crew here. So we have Seth on. We have Rob on. It's exciting to have everybody together as we dip into the 10th episode. We're into the double digits. So what better way to celebrate double digit episodes than with the full crew? Rob, are you happy to finally be on with a guest?
Absolutely. Excited.
Seth, are you happy to have Rob on?
Yeah, I want to rehash some old stories, obviously, make it a little bit more interesting. Chad, not that you weren't interesting
ouch,
before. But,
you know. Ouch! So, we needed to add the extra flavor. Chad, you were really boring, is what I'm getting out of here.
I mean, you can take it however you want to. You don't have to be that sensitive about it, though.
Oh, I'm going to be. That's a core value of me. So, you know how we do things here. We do, you know, recent events, recent bias. So I'm going to do a little bit of dealer's choice. Well, first, let's do a little background. You know that from the last episode with Seth, Seth was my coach. Seth was also Rob's coach for a long time growing up. We won some ships together. Things were great.
See, unlike you, I actually had him as a football coach, though.
Oh, so there's
that's true. That's true. Running that speed option.
Oh, man. That was rough.
I didn't know that Rob had the speed in the
I
in
didn't.
The
that's
there.
The thing. I didn't.
Running the... The jogging option, or yeah. the half-speed option, the slow-mo and option.
I felt your pain at the time. I mean, I've been in those shoes.
Oh, man. It was rough. I was about 5'3", so I couldn't see over the offensive line. And yeah. It was basically all it was I just handed the ball off to whoever. That's it. That's all I did.
Rob, just
run that. We were running that tee, so we had to make you look like you were going to run the ball.
Yeah.
Rob, just get rid of the football, please. I don't care what option you take. Just please get rid of the football. So there is a little bit of different dynamic. I mean, it's still player coach, but, Seth and Rob kind of have the same sort of dynamic that I do. Obviously they had their different relationships, their different trials and tribulations, but coach player relationships are all the same. So we do things here. We do current events and we talk a little bit about different stuff. So we're going to go not dealer's choice. We're going to go player's choice. Would you rather do a little bit of the day-to-day stuff, or would you rather talk about some of the things Rob has, a little bit more philosophical coaching stuff first? We're going to let you have that because you're the guest. You're valued.
We can go whatever direction we it goes. It doesn't matter to me.
Okay. Oh, I like it. He's a free-flowing guy. So just for the sake of dipping our toes into the sports world, we'll start here. We'll start with some of the stuff that's going on today. Spring training's back. Everything's exciting. Everybody has a chance. Your Cubs. They played a baseball game on ESPN this week with the players mic'd up. How did you enjoy that?
It was fun. I mean, I think, you know, spring training is obviously a little more relaxed, so they can get away with that. And if you're able to see any of the teams, like, on their actual TV networks, like the Cubs have Marquee Sports now as their new network that they signed on with, and it's all about them. It's all about the Cubs, and I don't get it here because of my location. Like, it's around the Chicago area, and they're still ironing out details with some of their providers and stuff like that, but they've been micing up players every game on that network and just kind of picking a different player every game. Like, Schwarbs is on the other day, Ian Happ was on the other day, and it's kind of fun because they do, like, pregame and warm-ups too, so they're having conversations with other guys. It's funny for, you know, see how they interact, but it was cool. Rizzo and Rittman, Brian did a great job on it, and I think most people enjoyed it from the comments I saw on Twitter.
Do you think that you, Darwin, and Klinger could have ever been mic'd up for even an inning?
I think it would have been delay.
like a 20-minute?
Especially depending on the team too. I mean, you know, some teams there was probably a few more beeps than others in there. But it would have been interesting. You know, I think most people that we coached actually enjoyed being in the dugout more at times than on the field. So I remember the first team we coached in baseball, and we had a couple kids that you know, on a solid varsity baseball team probably wouldn't have saw a whole lot of playing time, where we weren't at that level quite yet. And they really enjoyed being in the dugout, especially the second game of doubleheaders and stuff like that when they weren't playing and we were interacting.
It was always a good time. I would beg to differ, because in intense moments when John was around, I didn't want to be around. I was terrified. I was terrified to get hit with shrapnel off a helmet or something like that. He was an intense.
Yeah, you had to watch the area a little bit. I don't think it was ever directed at anyone, but you know, you might get a flying object here and there.
Oh no! Oh, for sure. Do you remember in Rogers City, we had a long road trip. It was the second day of a back-to-back. And we're sitting in the dugout, and we look over, and I'm not going to name names, but there's a player in their math book open in their lap, and you're like, what are you doing? And the player goes, well, am I going to play? And you're like, well, fair.
I don't remember that.
It was awesome.
There's been so many things along the coaching line that you're just like, I can't believe they're doing that. And it you know, it kind of adds to the story and the memories of, like, different things that kids and people are willing, or like they do at the oddest times, and they say at the oddest times, and you're like, what are we doing right now? That's all I can ever say, or I shake my head and I don't even say anything because you can't even say anything to it.
I think a lot of that's like the perks of the small school, but when I saw the look on your face, just the pure exasperation of, are you serious right now? Are you kidding me? But
yeah, it's not that I'm not for academics, but you know, it seems like there might be a time and a place to open your math book.
Yeah, and this, when he says, you know, so defeated, well, am I playing today? And you just kind of, well, I, you know what, that is a fair point. You got me there.
And clearly he had, you know, he didn't play very consistently.
No, he wasn't clearing the bases, but, you know, he was there. He was an effort guy. It was happy.
He obviously had a role.
Yeah, obviously, team GPA boost.
We had academic all-state. We were trying for it, apparently.
Oh, shoot. Branching off the Cubs, their spring training, these guys are obviously really marketable. Probably their most marketable player, I'd say, due a little bit to, you know, his demographic, his market, it's a little heavier, is Javier Baez. He has a huge following in terms of, he has a lot of the Hispanic following as well. A lot of hype, really great player. A lot of people talking possible bounce back season, MVP type season. Do you see that with Javi this year? Is there another guy in the Cubs you think is just going to take off?
Yeah, I think Javi's kind of figured it out. You know, last year he was hampered a little bit. He had and it seemed to have been like a thing with the Cubs, where if the guy was injured, they like, instead of just shelving them for a couple weeks and making them better, they tried to play through it, and then it lingered on for months. But he had a really bad heel early on in the season, and I think it affected him for a long time. And he still put up pretty good numbers, but not quite like it was the year before in his MVP type season. He was right there with Yelich the year before, but yeah, I think he's figured it out. And I hope they get him to an extension. I think they're pretty close on that, and I think Yelich's extension probably helps that along a little bit, just kind of give him a little more of a ballpark of where he should be. But yeah, I think he's gonna have another big year. You know, their core guys are gonna have big years. It's just, for them, really, it's, are they the, you know, are they going to be the sum of their parts, or the parts of their, you know, of their sum? It's like they can't put it together, even though they have really good players at the right time. They just can't get big hits when guys are on. And game after game, it was really frustrating last year to see some of that.
If I'm the Cubs, I'm backing up the Brinks truck for Javi. I don't care if I got to top what Yelich got in Milwaukee. That guy's electric. I think he's really fun. He's really, really exciting.
I think they're going to get it done. I mean, and I think they're, you know, he's the main target as far as the extension goes. I mean, they've talked to the other guys, but he's the main one they want to get it done with.
Yeah, Ricketts has to back up some of that Wrigley money. It's got to happen, because, holy cow, that dude's electric on the baseball field. He's fun. Not just Cubs, though. Is there any other guys around the league that you think, like, this year is just, this is the year? And, I mean, don't say Trout, because we know Trout's going to put up 40, 40-30. So we know Trout.
Yeah,
is there any guy flying
under
the radar?
Yeah, those guys, Trout, Bellinger, you know, Yelich, those guys are, you know, they're what they're going to do. It's funny because on the MLB website the other day, they had like predictions for the next decade, as far as like guys with the most home runs, most wins, most, you know, they had like different categories for it. And if you could predict, I think there was 10 of them, all 10 of them, you had a chance to win $1 million in 10 years or whatever it is. And some of the names on there to kind of think about to break out, it's a good one for that. Like Ronald Acuna, I think he's going to continue to just be awesome in Atlanta. You know, he's only like 21 years old. He's doing what he's doing. Other guys around the league, I would say, you know, if he can stay healthy, I really, like, people underrate Verdugo going to Boston. I think he's going to put up really good numbers there if he can stay healthy and his back's okay.
And if he can not strike his old lady, then, I mean, really, we have...
You can go wherever you want with him. on the baseball field, I think he's really good. No. I don't care for the guy the way he acts.
No, for sure.
Talent-wise.
For sure. He's good. I mean, he's definitely a talented young player. Before the trade went down, I mean, we're talking about a top 10 prospect there. So everybody act like the Red Sox got hosed. And, I mean, you trade Mookie Betts and David Price, it's going to be hard to match value. But that is, he's a very good player.
It's got to be tough when people know you want to trade him. You know, what are you going to get back with those salaries, and you know that they are absolutely trying to trade them?
Yeah, leverage is everything with anything, like any sort of negotiation. But it was just weird to see, like, if you try to do that on MLB The Show or like in your fantasy baseball league, people might actually spit in your face, just like insulted. But given circumstances, it's crazy. But before we move on from baseball, we're gonna try to rein some positivity down. I would like for you to say something nice about the Jays to me, and something nice about the Tigers to Rob.
Oh, well, the Jays are much easier than the Tigers.
Saying something
positive. I think the Jays are trying. I still think the Tigers might be another year or two away from trying.
From even trying.
Yeah. At the same time, what are they going to do as far as, you know, it doesn't make any sense to sign somebody like Ryu or something like that for, you know, that kind of money if it makes them win 5 more games, you know, at this point. But the Jays, you know, it's a tough division, but they're at least trying to get the right pieces together. And those young players are pretty impressive. It's just a matter of how fast they all put it together.
So I like the compliment of you're trying, and, well, in a couple of years, your trying will maybe pay off.
Well, he's not wrong.
That's true.
I mean, I don't know. I honestly don't know some of the Tigers, who they got back in some of those trades, if they're – they're where they should be as far as the value back, and how fast they can develop and things like that. But, you know, they were at a position where they had to do that because it was just, you know, you can't sit in mediocrity for very long. It just doesn't make any sense for all aspects financially, you know, getting players, stockpiling the farm and all that stuff. You just can't go, you know, be around 500 for very long. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, full disclosure, the J.D. Martinez trade, not looking that great.
Well, that's the problem, I think, part with the Tigers, is some of those big names that they had that they traded away, and it's been a couple of years now, who did they get for them, you know?
I can only name, like, I think two guys that the Tigers got, and only one of them, well, actually, I think both, no, only one of them is in the majors right now, and he's borderline making it into the majors. They're talking about...
Yeah, I mean, I'm out here with the Orioles, and they're in the same position. I mean, I think some of their trades, you know, they better come to light like this year. Like Manny and some of the guys they traded off, some of the pitchers, you know, they traded Gausman. You can go down the line, but who did they get? Well, we'll see. It should be happening pretty quick. I mean, if they were good quality prospects, they should be coming onto the field here pretty soon. I mean,
I would like to make note that what you did was clear space in your lineup for Chris Davis every day for the next 5 years.
Oh, I like going to Orioles games because of the ballpark, but they were a disaster to watch the last couple of seasons. it makes for a cheap ticket, you know. Yeah. So
misery loves company, and this podcast just shares, like, regionally where we're located. It's bad. Yeah. Like, we don't have.
Well, I can go not very far and go to a Nats game too. So, you know.
Listen, you have to pick one, Seth. We can't.
I don't like either team. So I just like baseball, and I like going to different parks. And like this year, actually, the Cubs play in Baltimore and in D.C. in the same week. So I'm going to try to make it to both. But I don't. The D.C. thing is a little less fun for me because of everything you have to deal with as far as parking and traffic and getting to the game and out, and it ends up costing you way too much money. But Baltimore is pretty easy in, easy out. It's a beautiful ballpark. It's a little less commercialized, and it's a little more fun to be at. So I'm glad the Cubs are playing there this spring. But no, I'm still a diehard Cub fan. Just because I'm closer to these parks, it makes it easier for me to go to them. But I still get to Wrigley when I can.
I'm putting the over-under that week for things you can accomplish at about, I mean, maybe three tasks. Three tasks.
Well, it's interesting, too, because my actual baseball season starts that same weekend. So
ooh,
there's a lot going on.
Oh, so you're getting fastball after fastball from me. Those old legs can't keep up.
The full disclosure is that the kids I teach probably won't get a whole lot that week. But, you know.
Whoa. Let's strike that from the record.
Several movies.
Well, yes, John Wick is good for your curriculum.
They're watching worse on their own, I can tell you that.
So baseball, we're clearing that up a little bit. NBA news, it's kind of, you know, into the dog days of the season. But we have had a week of really good games. We've had LeBron versus Zion a couple times. LeBron versus Giannis the other night. LeBron's building himself a nice little MVP case. I mean, and today against the Clippers is going to be huge to kind of cement that MVP case. Does he have an MVP case if he wins this game, or is it Giannis? And do you think that the Lakers are the team to beat going into the playoffs?
He's definitely, you know, a lot of the media does the MVP talk, and he's right there being talked about, so I'm sure he has a pretty good legit chance at it. It's always funny to me that guys that win the MVP and they pretty much have the exact same numbers the following year, are like, now they're not in first anymore when it comes to MVP talk because the media says so. But no, LeBron, you know, he's done what he's done for his entire career. It's just a little more impressive now that he's 35. And now he's playing point guard all the time, basically, on that team, which, you know, everybody said before he really didn't do that. But if you watch the Cavs or, you know, Miami, he brought the ball up the floor all the time. It wasn't like he wasn't doing that. He's just pretty much doing it every single time for the Lakers. But they're right there. I mean, you know, I think him and Giannis are definitely right there for the MVP. People can say what they want. I don't really care to watch the guy, but Harden is, I mean, look at his numbers. You know, he's got to be right there. Kawhi is probably right there, but because of the load management, he's missed a ton of games. But, you know, I think any of them you could make an argument for.
I think that watching Harden is garbage.
Yeah.
It's tough to watch that.
Him and Westbrook together, it's so hard to watch.
You being a guy who, I mean, I think especially coaching around here and stuff, typically we didn't have the shooting and all. So they're spacing the floor entirely with shooters. There's no nuance to the game. It's just run down the court, fire off a three, hope you get a rebound with all the small guys. I mean, that's boring to watch for me. I just can't get into it.
I watched like the first time or two that they tried it because I wanted to see how it would work. And, you know, offensively, I mean, it is tough to guard. I mean, they're all very skilled. It's just like, it's just not fun to watch. You know, they're never sharing the ball. There's never any like inside out action. There's even screen and rolls. It's just to try to get a matchup that they want for the guy with the ball going one-on-one. So it's tough to watch. It really is. Westbrook, I've never been a fan to watch of either, and he's obviously extremely talented, but man, he's got to be tough to play with. I can kind of compare him to AI, you know, back in the days. Like, he's an unbelievably talented player, but it's got to be very difficult for guys to play with him and for them to overachieve.
Yeah, it's uncomfortable for sure. And it's funny, I want to touch on two things. A, their offense is especially frustrating from a standpoint of someone who can't shoot, so I can't relate to that offense. Like, if I can't make a bucket, that just it seems unachievable. I mean, pro sports are already unachievable, but they're actually making jump shots. That's crazy. That doesn't happen.
PJ Tucker has pretty much made a career by staying in the corner and making threes with Harden on his team now. So well, there's guys that have adapted and been able to do it, but you know, I look at like when LeBron was in Cleveland, or he was in Miami, like Bosch and Love. Those guys were unbelievably talented as far as, you know, the numbers they put up playing in the post and their previous teams. And then they play with LeBron and they're staying in the corner and shooting wide open threes. And they were good at it, but I don't think they use their skills too much. That's what kind of been the impressive part for me with AD and with the Lakers is I think they've used him right when I've watched their games. You know, he's still doing everything that he can do as far as on the basketball floor, not just standing in a spot making shots. And LeBron's adapted in that way, being able to play with other guys.
Yeah, he's always been kind of the Swiss Army knife kind of guy. He's impressive. And it's so funny you talked about kind of how, like, narratives control. That's like with anything in life. I mean, it's so funny, like, how you take what people say to heart and, like, how you take what people say. It's, like, the media can create an MVP out of nowhere, like you said. I mean, Harden's statistically better than he's ever been, and he's
probably... Yeah, he's averaging almost 40 a game. It's, like, 38 a game or something like that. And when's the last time anybody did that?
Oh, it's... Yeah, Wilt Chamberlain. Yeah, when it was Wilt versus Chad Cole, four Chad Coles and a mailman. So, yeah, he's doing okay, for sure.
Yeah.
The last thing in the kind of the current event spectrum of it all is the NFL has the big CBA deal that they're debating right now, with some owners hoping that they actually vote it down so they can try to get a little bit more revenue out of the players. So my only question with the NFL, really, well, okay, not going to say the only, because I might tangent off, and I kind of got two. But
I know this is Rob's bread and butter. I've listened to a few guys' podcasts. I'm waiting for Rob to go on a tangent here.
Rob, did you happen to catch Rob's rant last week? He was intense. I'm surprised he made it back this week. I mean, we really...
I listened to part of it, and then I think I was in the car, and I stopped it because I was going in somewhere or something. I think I heard part of it.
You were probably taking on some of the stress, and you just couldn't do it anymore because it was intense. But
no, I was laughing. I don't think I was taking on any of the stress. So
our I guess how you want to view it. So your lens is a little different, because obviously we don't have all the money in the world, where Joe Schmoes compared to these guys who are making the millions and millions. But if you're in an argument with another player who maybe wants to play, maybe doesn't, on the other end of the spectrum as you, if you're in this lockout situation, are you pushing to play because your love of the game and you're still making millions and millions regardless? Or are you someone that says, no, we have to pinch every penny out of this to make sure that, you know, the next guy's set up? Where would you kind of stand on that? Would you want to make sure that everybody's set up for the best possible position? Or are you saying, guys, we're making millions to play, let's play?
Oh, I mean, I think the goal, you know, in those unions is to try to make it for the best for everybody. How that works out, I don't really understand. You know, I don't know. I don't know the intricacies of it when it comes to how they negotiate and what they're trying to get. In football, I mean, the biggest thing for me, if I'm a player, is I'm not trying to play more games as far as your longevity in your body.
Yeah.
I mean, to go to, they're talking about 18 games, right?
That's, I think.
It was originally 17, but now the owners are trying to get them to vote it down because they think they have a better deal that involves 18 games now.
Yeah, I mean, part of it is they're taking out more preseason games, correct? They're not going to play as many preseason games.
Yeah, I think
Which the big time guys aren't playing anyways.
I was going to say, none of them are playing. Like, that doesn't mean anything to them. In fact, I mean, they may be for that because it's like probably less preseason time, but that doesn't affect anything as far as the regular season. If I'm a middle linebacker or a running back or something, you want to play two more games? I mean,
that's like
I'd like to be able to walk 10 years from now. I don't know.
That's like me saying, Seth, you're going to get the week off when the Cubs come to town. That doesn't matter. I'm not teaching anyways. You know, but, yeah, so it's interesting to see. I'd like to see that gets shaken out quicker than, I mean, sooner than later, because, man, I mean, I want to watch football. Selfishly, I just want to watch some football, and I don't want it to be the XFL.
Well, you know, in all of those negotiations, I mean, bottom line is it comes down to money. They want to play two more games because they can make – kajillion more dollars on it. The owners can, and the players, I mean, they're going to probably get paid more because of it, so they'll figure it out. I don't know. In the discussions, I mean, I think as a player, the goal would be to make it the best you can make it for everybody that's, you know, involved in it for years to come. Whether that happens or not, I don't know. Those deals are so far and above, like, what we know most of the time as far as what their goal is and what they're trying to do. The media, again, can say what they want about it, but a lot of times I think they're doing their own thing behind the scenes trying to figure it out, and we're just getting part of it.
So, quick question, XFL, are you in or are you out?
I just can't do it.
Attaboy, attaboy, I'm in.
I can't do it. I tried to watch the first week a little bit, and I mean, I don't even know who these guys are.
You mean, like, to tell me that Cardale Jones doesn't get you at half mast for a football game?
I mean, he didn't even play. Like, he was not even in the top 10 in quarterbacks in the last 20 years in Ohio State.
Right? But it's Cardale Jones. He's the 12 gauge.
It's all because you're watching the wrong team. Houston is the team to watch.
What's their mascot, Rob?
The Roughnecks.
What is a Roughneck? The Roughneck. What? Tell me what a Roughneck is.
An oil rig person.
Oil rig guy. It's miserable.
I give you credit if you can do it, because that really does mean you're a diehard. But I'll watch spring training baseball before I watch that.
The league MVP right now, P.J. Walker. Rob tried to tell me his name was P.J. Washington about 20 minutes ago.
I did hear that argument last week, and you guys were talking about a couple of, like, the main players, and he couldn't name anybody.
Yeah,
like,
I know some of the W.
No, not even a little bit. He is a fraud. XFL just creates frauds. Okay, so let's assume that the NFL does get a deal done. We're playing football this year. We're playing football this year regardless. So
they're gonna get a deal done. They're not gonna lose money like that.
With that money available, then the only other question I want to ask you about NFL, Rob has one later on for you. I guess kind of like a little too, but the last one I want to ask you: where does Tom Brady play this year?
He's back in New England. I'd be surprised if it happens. I mean, I do think he's checking other places out, and I think that there's probably been like a little bit of a beef in the relationship with him and Belichick over the last few years. But at the end of the day, I think they kind of both know each other. They know they both need each other. And I mean, at the end of the line, like these guys are talking about like Garoppolo being traded for Brady. I mean, why would the 49ers do that?
Because Garoppolo is a fraud and he is not very good. I don't know, but
do you think that?
Come on. Yes. I don't know.
You don't think Garoppolo is very good?
I don't personally. I think he's victim of circumstance. Like, I think that honestly, you could probably put up 2,500 yards passing if you could stretch out and just dump off to Juszczyk for 30 yards every play. Like, yeah, well, you're gonna be successful in the NFL. I think he's average, but I think that if you were to put Stafford or I don't know who's some other quarterbacks that don't get the sheen, Nick Foles. Like, if you were to put any other guy who's capable, they probably win the Super Bowl by about 20 points.
Nick Foles is a product of being in Philly, is what I think, but that's a whole different story. No, I think Garoppolo's, he's a little bit, I think he's better than average. But I also think that, you know, it was hard to tell because, like you said, their offense, I mean, he didn't throw it down the field very much. I think he can.
Well, when you he know, was when asked
first,
to,
when he first, he well, didn't. When he first got there, they did. When they weren't as good and they didn't have as much talent around him.
I was really hoping you'd say Brady played for the XFL or threw me like a crazy team. I needed it, but you're going with the safe bet back to New England. I personally think let's do it. He's going to Vegas.
I personally would rather see Giselle play for the XFL.
Anyone. Giselle can play for
Think of a team, Chad.
She can wear the Zeke Elliott jersey too. That's cool. I mean, it's cool.
That's fine. She's a good person. She's just I'm in.
She seems like a nice lady.
Yeah. Hey, that is a nice way. All right. So now Rob.
Back on track. Yes. But Garoppolo for Brady. Like, they're talking about that. Garoppolo is their quarterback for the next probably 10 years.
Which is a total shame because he is a buffoon.
Well, I mean, that's your opinion. That's fine. But Brady, what's he got left? One or two?
2 years of Brady and actually having success in the playoffs is better than getting to the playoffs and losing in dismantling fashion. And I know dismantling losses. Yeah, so like you want, like, perfect scenario is, yeah, he can carry us and we'll be the new Buffalo Bills.
I don't know.
You think Brady would have won that game?
Yes, Brady wins that game 10 times out of 10. With that defense, with that offense.
At 41 years old?
Yes, because he drinks juices and he works out and he has a beautiful family that he kisses his kids on the mouth, which is so weird. So weird.
It is weird. But Father Time never loses, just so you know.
It's not a coincidence that Jimmy G, he's out a whole year because he's injured and they get the number two pick. And when he comes back, they go to the Super Bowl.
Ooh. Okay.
Another theory.
I don't know. I don't know. It's weird. But Rob's got a few things he needs to get off his chest to you. Things that have been burning at him for years and years.
Uh-oh.
So here we go.
Well, I mean, first of all, I want to talk to you about your Denver Broncos. Because I don't know if you remember or not, but I'm a little bit of a Broncos fan myself. You were my seventh grade social studies teacher, and I had a Jake Plummer jersey.
Gross.
And I taped over the one and the name with blue painter's tape and wrote Cutler on it. And you were a big fan at the time.
I'm probably upset about that.
Yeah, I want to get your opinion on your new guy, Drew Lock. What do you think?
I like him. I like him. I mean, I like him a lot better than what they've had recently. I mean, the thing is with young quarterbacks like that, he might come out and have a mediocre to bad year next year, and they might give up on him. Like I feel like that happens so often with young quarterbacks where they just expect them to be, you know, John Elway right away, and like most of the time it doesn't happen, and especially on teams that are mediocre at best, those guys generally struggle, and then they blame it on them. This might be a little bit before you guys' time, but with the Lions, Joey Harrington back in the day, okay, this happens all the time with guys that are drafted really high. Well, what happens when they get drafted high? What kind of team are they going to?
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah.
So Joey Harrington goes to the Lions, and seriously, the three of us could have blocked just as well as their offensive line for him. And the guy's getting thrown everywhere on every play. He couldn't even drop back three steps and throw a five-yard out, and he's getting just drilled every play. And then he's gun-shy, and then he has a horrible couple seasons, and they say he's a bust and this and that. I watched the guy play in college, and he was awesome. Like, I just think that that happens so often with quarterbacks. So I hope that doesn't happen with Locke. I hope that they're at least they got enough around him that that doesn't happen, and he can improve. But if he comes out and he's just okay, I mean, that is okay. Like, let him be and let him grow a little bit and just have some patience with him, because, you know, a team like the Broncos, they've started all over so many times with different guys, and just what are we going to do next year? Are we going to draft another one? Like, just let it go, you know, let it happen.
Well, speaking about next year, what's your hopes for the Broncos in the draft next month?
I think they need to get somebody in the defensive backfield, probably. Especially, it looks like they're letting Chris Harris go. I saw they made a trade the other day for I forget the guy's name, defensive back from
AJ Boye,
Carolina or Jacksonville.
Yeah, Jacksonville.
Jacksonville. I'm not familiar with the guy, but I'm assuming he's okay. But I think they need more help back there. The problem with those positions a lot of times is they become unsignable after a while. Like, you're not going to sign Chris Harris to a major, major deal when you got to pay other guys, which I understand that part of it. So you got to kind of continue to restack it. And I hope that's the direction they go. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I mean, they got two tight ends last year. So,
did you hear actually that the Broncos, it was a big thing, they signed a marketing partnership just recently? And it was with Kleenex, because they really needed help. They couldn't stop a nosebleed or a pass rush last year. So maybe they invested in an offensive tackle.
Rob, I hope that you have more friends than just Chad. I really do for your sanity.
Oh, man. Now, of course, I listened to your last conversation with Chad, and I couldn't help but come across the topic you guys talked about. Jim Harbaugh. He's my guy.
Ah, yes, yes.
Now, at the time that you guys did this interview, I was on your side. Jim Harbaugh, I was not a big fan at the time because we couldn't beat Ohio State. That was right around the time that we lost to Ohio State again. But now, thanks to Mike Greenberg, I don't know if you saw that clip, he switched my mind again on Harbaugh, talking about how us Michigan fans are mad that we can't win, we can't beat Ohio State, we can't win big games, whatever. But, I mean, the program's better than it's been in years. We're still winning a ton of ball games. It's just we can't beat Ohio State. But then again, who does? Now, I just want to clear that up and just want to let you know that Jim Harbaugh is my guy. And I know that you were talking about like five-star recruits. He's got all these five-star recruits now. Now, I just want you to hear my theory.
Wait.
So when Harbaugh first came around, he was dealing with Brady Hoke's recruits, who were all like three-star, four-star recruits. But the deal that I got with him was he gets those kids to play out of their minds. A perfect example is like Taco Charlton, who he was.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, he was great with us. And then I think he's still in Dallas. He's not doing anything.
Nope, he's in Miami.
And then the perfect example of like I just get this feeling about these five-star recruits that he's getting. Like, they're coming to Michigan because they know that Jim Harbaugh has a link to the NFL. And so they think they're just going to coast through Michigan and get drafted high in the NFL. Perfect example, Rashawn Gary. He started out really well when he was playing with Taco Charlton and everybody else. And then once they left and he became a leader, he just kind of disappeared. So I just wanted to hopefully switch your mind on Jim Harbaugh. He's my guy.
I want to clarify, Rob. I feel like you're under attack. You feel like you're under attack. No, I'm a fan of Harbaugh. I'm actually a fan of Harbaugh. My comment was that I think John is the better of the two Harbaughs as far as coaching goes.
And that's fair. That's fair.
Super Bowl winner. I get it.
Right. With Trent Dilfer.
And Ray Lewis. He's literally winning football games in a locker room that contains a murderer, a known murderer. That is chemistry building 101.
It's America, baby. America.
I think Rob's got a point, though. Like, with the recruits coming in, and you might know this, especially dealing with, you know, some of the more prominent coaching, like the silver spoon attitude. Like, if you walk in and you're entitled, you're not working as hard. Like, if you know that the world's given to you, like, you're just not working as hard. That's just human nature. Like,
I think there's something definitely behind that theory. But these other schools, you know, that you talk about, Ohio State, Alabama, these big-time schools, they're getting those kids, though. They're getting those kids, and obviously they're putting them into the NFL like a factory. I mean, and these kids know that when they go there. So what's the difference?
That's fair. I just like to live under the notion. There's a saying, and I almost say the silver spoon thing because I just need an excuse to say it. I think it's a great new saying that I've stumbled across.
I think Jim Harbaugh is a really good coach. I think he's obviously very strange, but he is a very good coach. I think their biggest problem recently, and Rob, you may have a different opinion of this, is and Harbaugh seems to be like his thing as far as he develops quarterbacks, but they haven't had a top quarterback since he's been there, and that's kind of mind-boggling to me. Is, you know, having Harbaugh as the coach, why wouldn't one of the best quarterbacks in the nation want to go there and play for
him? Because he is average.
Yeah, well, we got McCaffrey coming now. It's going to be McCaffrey.
He's been there for 2 years.
Yeah, but they had Shea Patterson in front of them.
Oh, that's amazing.
Oh, right. That's my point.
McCaffrey's going to change it.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, I don't know. Just that's strange to me. I mean, that's a big difference. You know, if you get one of those top-tier quarterbacks to play against Ohio State, then that's a different ballgame.
And now another thing. This was something that I sent to Chad, but he forgot to ask you. About this time, of course – I don't know if you're fully aware, but I coach at the school now, coaching football on multiple levels, and I came across this cabinet in one of the coaches' office down in the locker room, and there was a bunch of VHS tapes in there.
Oh, Seth gone wild? Can you elaborate?
I was going through them, and they were all like old tapes, like in the early 2000s, whatever, and then I came across one, and I recognized the handwriting. I recognized your chicken scratch handwriting. And it said, it said 2008 JV versus Whittemore Prescott. And I started doing the math in my head and I thought that was my freshman year. So I snagged that tape and I took it home and I watched it. And good old 5'2", 130 pound Rob McGuire is out there playing corner. And my simple question is, what in the world were you thinking putting me out there?
Did you look around at your teammates and see what we had on that team?
Also, I have a question.
I'm trying to remember actually the different guys on that team. I'm trying to remember some names, and I'm thinking in my head. I don't want to throw them out there too much, but I feel like we weren't that strong that year.
I mean, yeah, that's fair. Like, it's
were we around 500 though, or were we just?
No, we won like two games, I think. Okay. And so
you're watching Whittem. So that probably wasn't very pretty.
It was rough. I don't think we scored. I think we got shut out. Yeah. But it's just so weird.
Were you a freshman or sophomore?
I was a freshman.
Okay.
So that was when...
name some names of some guys that were ahead of you in what grade.
Our quarterback was Spencer Ellis.
That's what I was thinking was that year. That's what I was going. Because you and him played quarterback, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was quite the dynamic there. Big old
Spence. Yeah, that was a struggle that year.
Yeah.
It was a struggle.
We had good old Ernie.
Yep.
And then we had Rufus.
Rufus. Probably the best nickname I ever gave anyone.
Man. But
you know why you had that nickname, right?
I wanna say I heard the story, but you can clarify it.
Please let it be Naked Mole Rat, Kim Possible related. I'm begging. The look on your face says no.
I don't know where you're going today. I don't know where you're going today.
That's a real thing.
You got this. I mean, we're digging deep.
I will link you after this podcast. I will link you Rufus the Naked Mole Rat from Kim Possible. And I was always curious about this, so please elaborate. And if it's not that, I'll be heartbroken.
No, so that was right around the time when, when you guys were in school, really, and when they did away with the transportation for a few years because of the funding. And so we were driving to games. And several times, fortunately or unfortunately, Rufus was in the car with me. and you know, Rufus, it took a while for Rufus to grow up a little bit. And so he always thought it was really funny just to let one go in the car, you know. And then he would have that giggling face on him and laughing the whole time, thinking it was the most hilarious thing in the world, like we were at a middle school sleepover. And I told him to roll down the window, and so, you know, he did or he didn't different times, and, you know, basically, I thought he looked like a dog with his head out the window, and so I called him Rufus.
That nickname stuck heavier than any nickname in the history of the world.
I can't remember a time where I actually called him Ryan.
I don't know his name. I was going to say, what is his name?
Yeah, I thought it fit him, too. I thought it fit him, you know.
It does.
I think he enjoyed it. He enjoyed it. So.
If you looked at him...
You guys still call him that?
That's all I know him as.
That's great.
I haven't seen him in years, though.
He's in the military, I think.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Do they call him Private Rufus?
I have no clue.
Sergeant Master Rufus? Because that's what I would.
I talked to Timmy once in a while. I don't think he calls him Rufus, so... It hadn't carried over. I don't think his mom probably appreciated it all that much.
Yeah.
It needed an adjustment. I think, you know, if they want to revise a birth certificate now, because that's just, it's there. There's Austin Richardson as Pedro,
yeah.
Joe Carrasco yeah. as Homie, and yeah. Rufus as Rufus. And I refuse to even use Ryan. It's just the wrong moniker. I can't do it.
True. Yeah, I can't take responsibility for the other two, but those are good nicknames as well.
It's just they're synonymous. Like, that's the name.
And now, of course, we always talk about you coached both of us. You coached Chad in baseball, and you coached me in football and baseball. Was there ever a moment, it doesn't have to be, like, at Ocona, or it can be anywhere. Was there a moment where you ever, like, had sort of, like, an epiphany where you thought, like, this is what I was meant to do, coaching sports or whatever?
When you first start out coaching, and I think, you know, obviously it depends on what situation you're put in as far as the school and the success that they've had or that they're in at that moment, it probably determines a lot. When I first started coaching at Alcona, I coached a little bit before that when I was at Plainwell as a long-term sub. I coached for basically 2 years there as well, and we were just average at most things. And when I first started at Alcona, I mean, I you know, as a young person, I was probably in my head probably a little better coach than I thought I was a little better coach than I really was at the time, and so I thought, you know, I could just turn everything around really quick. And at Alcona, especially in basketball, it took a little bit. My first 2 years coaching basketball, we weren't very good, and I think we probably achieved what we could as far as wins. We kind of maxed out our potential a little bit, but it still wasn't very good. And then by year three, when we kind of built it from the ground up with some young guys, and we were still fairly young at that point, but they were starting to come into their own a little bit, we ended up going 20-5 and making the regional final. But my first 2 years there, I was like, I literally had a lot of thoughts like, maybe this isn't what I should be doing, because I felt like I wasn't making any progress. And I mean, even though I felt like I was doing the right things and building it the right way, it just wasn't happening as fast as, you know, you always want it to happen faster than what it is as a coach or a player, and it just wasn't happening. And then by year three, when that started happening, it was kind of like a verification that I really was doing the right things. And, you know, obviously we had good talent at that point, but I felt like I was at least a part of that, and building that talent and building those players, you know, skill-wise and attitude-wise and things like that. And so that was, I guess, my epiphany in basketball, as far as I knew that I was doing the right things and that what I was doing could be successful. And the other, you know, I think different sports take on different animals, too. With baseball, I was always very confident that I was doing the right things. It's just a matter of getting everybody to buy into it, because I had been a part of really successful programs in college and in high school, and I knew what it took to be successful, and being able to get that, you know, instilled in everybody was a challenge, but I never thought that it was the wrong thing was what I was doing. It was just a matter of time before it kicked in. And it was tougher up there because in baseball, like, there was just so many of so many guys that didn't play outside of the season. I mean, we're literally learning how to play catch the right way 2 weeks into a varsity baseball season. And so it was different. It was tough at times, but I was always very confident in baseball that I was doing the right things. It was just how long it would take before it kicked in.
Okay. Yeah. Cause I really thought about that because there is a time I had this moment a few years ago. I can exactly remember when it was. It was 2016 where, like, it was a day before we were going to, the varsity was going to face Whittemore Prescott. And I kind of, like, my job for the varsity team was basically break down their entire tape and then create scouting reports and everything, which I like doing. But then it just kind of seemed like that's all I was doing. Like, I couldn't apply that to anybody. And so I kind of went home one day, and I was just sitting in my car once I got home, and I just kind of thought, like, why am I still doing this if literally anybody can do what I'm doing? I know we're winning football games and everything, but it just doesn't feel like I'm really doing much other than just doing computer stuff. So that next day we go to Whittemore Prescott, and it's a close game. And late in the fourth quarter, we're down inside our own 10. And earlier on, I was talking to Jason Summers is our head coach now. And I was talking to him, and what I do at the games is I write down what play we run and what down and distance is and everything, and kind of let him know on the fly what we're doing right, what we haven't done in a while. And I kind of told him, because Whittemore started stuffing us, I told him that we haven't run inside trap with our fullback in a long time, so that might be wide open. And so on the very next drive, we're on our inside our own 10, and we run a fullback trap right up the middle, and Brock Franklin goes right up the middle, breaks one tackle, and takes it all the way for a touchdown. And I just remember all the coaches, I got a giant hug from one of our coaches and high fives and saying, great call. And it didn't hit me then, but it was when I got back home and sat in my car at the same spot at my house that's when it finally clicked, like 24 hours ago. I was wondering why I'm still doing this. And then 24 hours later, I'm thinking, I'm very happy I still do this. Like, this is what I was meant to do, and this is why I love to do it.
Yeah, I mean, we all have different strengths and weaknesses, and it sounds like to me, you know, that your strength is obviously the X's and O's part and figuring out, you know, strategically and things like that. And so, I mean, I think that's a big thing as a coach, too, is recognizing what you're good at and what you're not. And if you're willing to accept that and learn and get better at the things that you're not, then you can be successful. But really, it's, you know, as far as satisfaction and knowing that you're doing the right thing, there's a lot of things that go into it. And it's constantly a struggle. It's constantly a struggle, no matter how long you do it, to like, man, sometimes you'll always have those moments. Do I really want to keep doing this? Is it worth it? And, you know, you have to kind of look at the things that you do well and look at what works. And is that satisfying enough? And are, you know, moving forward, is that what you want to do? And I mean, it doesn't go away. You may have that epiphany and know that you're doing the right thing, but you'll still have doubts every now and then.
Yeah. Now, we're going to lighten things up again, because, I mean, that got a little serious down there. Now, here's just, it's not even really sports related. Is there anything, like, on TV or streaming-wise that you're watching right now, or is your all-time fave?
Well, I've had more time this winter, which has been strange because I haven't coached basketball this winter for the first time for really like 20 years. Probably a little bit less. There was like 1 year at Alcona where I didn't coach basketball my first year there. So it was give or take 20 years. But so I've watched some series on Netflix. Watching Bloodline right now. Oof. I'm sorry, Blacklist. Blacklist.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. So I'm in like season 2 or 3. A Blacklist. Have you guys seen that?
I saw it a couple times when it was on NBC years ago, like when it first came out. It was
pretty good. I mean, the bottom line is the thing in that. Did you guys watch Designated Survivor?
I have not.
Okay, well, those two are somewhat similar in the fact that, and it's probably like a lot of the series is, but every single show there's a major catastrophe going on, which you know, I can follow it for a while. So I'm starting getting a little bit less interested in season two here because, like, you know, it's not the end of the world every single show. It shouldn't be anyways, but it is. So
yeah. It sounds like an autobiography for me. Like every day we're waking up something new. And it's
time you wake up.
Yeah, it's not the biggest end of the world, but for me, I mean, I'm gonna blow it up. So you guys talk a little bit about coaching, a lot of it's like the best of coaching is the relationships you make along the way, right? We can both attest to that.
Yeah.
Yep.
That being said, I'm gonna put you on the spot here a little bit. You've made a lot of relationships. I'm going to ask you, who are your favorite players to coach who went on to host you as a guest on their podcast?
Chad, you're the one and only. Chad Robbie.
Oh, man. One and only. So. See, I love that. Truly, a man after my own heart.
I had a couple of former players from Alcona that reached out to me after the first one and were like, I don't know if this is a bash on you or, giving me a compliment, but they were like, you should do your own podcast. You should do your own podcast.
Ouch. I was
like, yeah. Ouch. So, yeah. I really don't think, I was just saying that. I don't think it was a bash on you at all, but I enjoy it. And
You do have the voice, the astute manner. You do have.
Well, for a while, one of my previous jobs, I was doing a lot of radio, which I loved. I was announcing football games, high school football games, some girls basketball games. It was during the same season as what I was coaching. And then I did baseball and softball in the spring. It was a blast.
Sometimes when we have these conversations, and like there's just times where, like, I don't know if, like, on a Sunday afternoon you ever just like kick back and watch golf and like you can close your eyes and things are serene for a little bit and you're just like, man, things are okay. Like,
yeah, like you gotta do that. You have your own little meditation.
Yeah, but you've got that voice. Like, you could commentate things, and I could be like, "All right, like Seth's got this shit. Like, we're gonna go here." I would love to.
I've actually reached out to a couple of radio stations around here to see if I can do some high school games. I haven't gotten any love back, but
if you,
I think you know, you almost have to like be in a system or somebody to know you to be asked to do it most of the time.
Oh, it's all about the politics of it, like who you know for sure. But if you ever need a ringing endorsement, if you ever need somebody to walk into a meeting and say, his voice melts like molasses in my ears, I will do that. I will be there.
You'll be my first call.
I'm your reference from here to the end of time. But I want to thank you for coming on again. You gave us the better part of an hour. You're so generous. You're so astute. I'm gonna hype you up till the day I die. So great.
I've even got the glasses going on this morning.
You are pulling a little bit of a Clark Kent, like.
Yeah, I got the beard. I got the glasses. My hair is a little bit of bedhead still going on. I got a cup of Joe, and you know that, like I said at the beginning, that the time change got me a little bit this morning, so it put me off in the wrong direction. But I'm glad I could get back on path with this awesome podcast with you guys.
Well, I mean, some of my former teammates might say different, but. I mean, we're just really glad you came back on. Hope to do it again. Thanks for your time, brother.
All right, appreciate it.
Oh, good times. What an exciting little conversation there, eh, Rob?
Oh, man, it was a blast.
Quick little note, something I wanted to touch on that I haven't been able to stop thinking about since we had the conversation with Seth. Elephant in the room. Rob is a kleptomaniac. Something that needs addressed. We're just going to let Rob take tapes?
Oh, yeah. It was one tape.
So, Sticky Fingers McGee. So, we did a pod today with Chad, legendary coach Seth Coffing, noted criminal Robert McGuire.
They weren't, like, out for sale.
Well, I mean, but they weren't.
And they've been there. That one was there for over 10 years.
Oh, so there's a statute of limitations on when we can just take things.
I mean, if I don't take it, who is?
No one, because we're modest.
Okay, so that tape's going to be lost forever.
I don't know. Maybe. Kleptomaniac. So I hope you enjoyed it, even though that, you know, you now know that we don't abide by the rules of the world. So kick it to the yay, because we're going to have our little annual yay at the end of here. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you're back for the next episode. Maybe we'll make this a Sunday thing. Once a week on Sundays. Because this seems to be going good.
I feel like we've said that a couple times now, though.
Yeah, but this is the first time we've stuck to our plan. It is Sunday. We are releasing another pod before noon. So listen all day Sunday. Listen all day Monday. Share it with your friends. Share it with your buddies. Do you love it? I love it. Rob loves it. Rob loves to steal. Seth loves to woo the masses with his charm.
I also love the Roughnecks, baby. 5-0.
Ugh. Who's your quarterback?
PJ Walker.
Are you even a fan, bro?
Yes.
Okay. Well, he is. Maybe. I don't know. Hopefully sports stuff happens. We'll be back. Thank you for listening. Rob, do you love the folks?
I love the folks in words I can't even describe.
He loves you so much, he would steal you if you were a 10-year-old tape in the JV locker room of Alcona High.
Yeah, I would do that.
I'd steal you. I'd steal your hearts with our woo and our charm. We love you. I think this one might break an hour. Maybe should we Jaron just a second more so break it? No. We don't want to do that. We're not going to give you false. We're not going to give you false. No, I'm just kidding. We're not going to do it. We're not going to Jaron. Thank you for listening. Kick it to the yay. I really like the yay. You're going to love it. Okay.